This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hucks it out in front, they score! Gauthier shoots, he scores! And this shot, they score! Around a check, around another, set right of the net, they score! Out in front, they score! A one-time blast by the Stoneham native, Sam Colangelo. Nesterenko, shot it out in front, they score! We're going to have a penalty on the Bruins, he scores! So the Boston Bruins are going to drop their sixth consecutive game. Anaheim able to separate late in the third period. And they come up victorious 7-5.
I don't know if Matt even describes them. We might need to go way worse than that.
We need a new one.
Yeah. They are. I hit the ESPN power rankings today, Brent.
Wow.
Scroll. They were at 10 last week. 10 in the power rankings last week. Kind of embarrassing.
Wait, no. They were?
I think so.
10 in the East?
No, 10.
The Bruins?
Scroll.
10th?
Scroll.
That person.
So 28. And I was like, I'd put them lower. I'm like, they need to be a lot lower than that. They are not just bad. They are horrendous. Some of the players, Keith, after the game, Geeky, Zadorov, Corpy, who else am I missing? McAvoy. Embarrassing McAvoy. What do you pay that guy for?
I don't get it.
Although I hear some people want to move him to forward.
Yeah, I think so.
Some former media members
want to
move him to forward. But, like, what do you pay that guy for, Keith? If he can't shut it down on that go-ahead goal, it's him and Lorai. I'm watching it. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, that was probably Lorai. Then they show the replay. I'm like, that's McAvoy.
No, it was McAvoy.
McAvoy falling asleep.
Yeah.
Falling asleep.
So some of the comments coming out after the
that's
game from
saying.
All the players
they were
incredible. Like, they're like, we're done. They're like, was it Zadorov or Zadorov? I say it wrong every time. He's like, yeah, we score a goal, then we don't play any defense. It's just like burying the team. Then they're like, oh, yeah, this is going to get ugly. Yeah, like,
you're a defenseman, FYI. Although he had a nice play last night, skating into the offensive zone and dropping off a puck.
They haven't played 10 games, and they're all ready to bail.
Oh, they're ready to bail.
They are ready.
I mean, this coach, Keith, is just lost. I mean,
just
it's catching flies.
It's catching flies.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Nick, not to put you on the spot. How his opening press conference one more time. I heard this, and I'm like.
This was. Early warning sign. They call this foreshadowing.
I'm like, this is a bad sign for this guy.
Morning, good afternoon. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Like, oh, no.
That's the guy in charge?
Oh, no.
This guy leader of men.
Now,
where am I?
I'm very plowed and trees.
Well, that's his boss.
But he's when that's your boss, you're doomed to fail.
You're proud and priest?
So let me just let's get into this, and then we can react on the backside. Sturm was asked. Last night about any changes they can make. Like, what kind of changes are you considering making?
There's been a consistent change for Don and Cam. every couple of years.
I know where I'd start. On this one, I might be with Don and Cam. Yeah. I know where I'd start with changes.
Yeah.
But here's the head coach, Marco Sturm, after another brutal loss.
It's hard to do changes. That's the thing, right? It's first of all, it's early in the year. There's a roster limit I have. You know, not too many changes will be made. You can tweak a few things, but that's about it.
So, like what?
I'm confident enough that this is the guys we can get, or we got to get out of it. I don't think too many changes can be made. Let's be honest, right? So the guys in here, including me, the guys in this room, we have to fix it. We can't control anything else.
Okay. They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
So it doesn't sound like there's a lot of help on the way. But secondary,
changes, there are none.
Secondarily, though, talk about throwing everybody under the bus. Yeah. He's like, well, yeah. I mean, I think the implication there is he's like, well, I'd love to make changes. I don't want this crappy roster. So,
I
like,
kind of can't.
Talk about a way to lose the room.
Right.
When you're like, well, yeah, I'd change stuff, but what are we going
to
change?
It's very similar to Bill O'Brien in BC football, where he's like, I can't fix it.
This is the guys we can get.
I have this crap. What am I supposed to do?
This is kind of what you're looking at. Ron Reinicke, nobody remembers this because it was 2020 COVID Red Sox, who were terrible. Nobody was watching the games anyway in 2020. But he was like, he was asked one day about, like, why'd you go with this reliever? And he basically said, who do you want me to put out there? You see who I have in the bullpen? That one didn't work.
Ryan Weber.
Was it Weber?
Who's better than Weber that we have?
Who's better than Weber? Who's better than Weber? It's like, it sounds
like. Tell me right now.
There should be like eight guys, but there wasn't. So you're like, okay, touche, Ron. And Sturm's the same spot. I'm not saying Sturm's a good coach by any stretch. I just also know his roster does stink.
No, it does.
His roster's bad. The players are bad on the team.
Yeah. Well,
because do you think it's like an effort thing?
McAvoy should be good.
All right, McAvoy.
Swayman should be good. Pasternak actually is good. And Geeky, you said Geeky. They have three and a half good players.
But one of your good players isn't playing good and wasn't even playing last night, right? In Swayman. Like, so ideally, you have for 55 games what should be a top end goalie, but he is not top end goalie.
He's outside the top 32.
Right. So it's wishful
goalies,
thinking.
And there's only 32 teams.
Before you become a top 5 goalie, you need to be a top 32 goalie, right? It's baby steps. So he's not that. So that kind of kills you. And then the nights where you have Korpisalo, you're like, all right, we do not have the goaltending advantage. And then you have Pasternak. Pasternak can only score so many goals, right? It's just not going to happen. He's not going to score, get a hat trick every night. And then their defense is bad. So this is a team that we thought would have one line that could score, and they would be decent defensively and have a good goaltending. They've given up more goals than I think everybody but, San Jose and Ottawa. They're the only teams that have allowed more goals.
I'm shocked they're not last.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Maybe that was some of the. You know what? What that probably is just the two of their wins. They allowed one goal, so maybe that weights
good
it.
Point.
Right? The Washington Buffalo wins, but yeah, six straight losses. They're getting booed off the ice last night. On the one hand, they show life again, right? They've done this the last couple of games where they show life. They don't lay down and die in the third period. So that's why I would say Sturm's at least got them playing hard, but not smart or well.
Yeah, maybe in one zone.
They didn't quit, but they're not good.
No, and that's fair. I just think, like, Twitch chat just said this. He's Mayo. Like, he is Mayo on skates, is Marco Sturm. Like, that's what he is. Gerard Mayo on skates.
Who do we have that we can say that we're going to put in that's going to be better than
Let me
Ryan?
Know. Get back to me on that.
There's
Ryan,
nobody.
Ryan Weber, to me.
Who do you guys want me to play?
You tell me right now. Tell me right now. Who do you want? So,
do you think they turn around tomorrow against Colorado?
No, I don't. And so,
the best team in the league.
Look, I don't think Sturm has much to work with, and I agree the Bruins have bigger problems. Sweeney and Neely on the list, the whole roster on the list. Like, sure, they have tons of problems. Ownership, problem. So Marco Sturm probably isn't their biggest problem, but let me tell you, Marco Sturm could have, you know, the 70s Canadiens. You know, he could have Wayne Gretzky in his prime. I don't think he's doing much as a coach.
Would be my feeling
on this guy.
Do you know how many times? So last year was a bad team. And they had all kinds of issues, and that the last couple months was even worse than, like, overall what their record ended up being. Do you know how many times they had six straight games without a single point?
Zero.
Zero
Seven!
Times. Nope. Zero times.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like already.
As bad as it was.
Yeah, this is a worse stretch than any stretch they had last year, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think it turns around tomorrow necessarily. And I was blown away by reading the comments. Like, Scott McLaughlin and a few other people just reading the – the comments coming out of the locker room. It's like, it's one thing for us to be like, hey, gagging for Gavin. It's time for Gavin McKenna. But like for the players to be like, yeah, this is going to get ugly, or, you know, we got to figure this out. It's, or like, this is a low point.
I think Corpusello said it's embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Yeah.
Which, no, it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, at least he's seeing the same stuff we're seeing.
Yeah. No, I mean, at least not hiding from it.
No, he's not. I would say that it is. I would say it is, and it's good to recognize that early. It can get out of hand pretty quick, and I think that's what's going to happen if we don't turn things around. So you're already putting that out there.
Yep.
Where if you don't turn around, and I doubt that you do, then it's going to get out of hand.
You created a new meme?
I did. You like me? I was back in the meme shop. Gavin McKenna.
Yeah.
Gagging for Gavin.
Yeah, it's a nice picture you found of him.
I think people were on
just
board.
Just kind of over the shoulder.
That was him in his Penn State back. Sweater.
Yeah, nice.
Kind of looking back. It's probably from Media Day at Penn State. He's like, hello.
Good get.
Yeah.
The Bruins are going to be squarely in the mix if they keep this up. Again, bad might not be.
Yeah.
Might not be the right way to describe him. It might be a lot worse than that. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Bruins. I see you waiting there on the Bees.
It is Patriots Friday. Mike Vrabel says the New England Patriots will face their toughest test yet when it comes to a defense on Sunday. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We are about to get to They Said It. And then the news with Courtney coming up at 7:45. Let's open the window world, the Boston weather window for Curtis with the weekend here. Curtis, cold out there this morning.
Yeah, brisk. It feels like in the mid-30s out there. The high today will be in the upper 50s. We're not going to break it out of the 50s for a prolonged period. I'm not going to say we're done with the 60s, Greg, because you're close there yourself. But it's going to be 59 today, 56 Saturday, 54 Sunday for the highs. Perfect weather to go out and about and enjoy the leaves.
And watching football Sunday at Gillette, pretty good weather.
Perfect. Okay. Mid-50s, one of the best. I mean, how pumped are you? You've been sticking with the team with season tickets. You've been off for 3 weeks away from Gillette, and then they come home on a four-game heater, and you get to see them play Sunday at 1.
You get a whole house full of siding installed from Window World of Boston for just $249 a month. No money down. Go to windowworldofboston.com.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the ass.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
They Said It is brought to you by Ketch's Law. They don't just work here, they live here. Their attorneys and staff are your neighbors, standing beside you during your toughest moments. Over $3 billion won for injured New Englanders. Call Ketch's today. What's first this morning, Chime?
But on the topic of first, I want to say something that Chime's too modest to say. Congratulations to Chime getting his first varsity soccer win as head coach yesterday, down 2 goals. The club rallied behind their new skipper and won 3-2.
Ah, Shime.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Curtis. That was probably the nicest thing you've ever done. Thank you.
Well done.
Nice.
Well done.
Appreciate it. It was an emotional day. It was great.
Is there going to be some sort of a head coaching controversy when
not at all.
When the head coach gets off of paternity leave?
Nope, none at all. It's a joint effort. I'm just stepping up when my number's called. That's all, Greg. I'm a team player. I'm all about the team.
It's
a team win yesterday, too.
A text here now from the parent of one of your players, and it says, fantastic job with the oranges in the game this week. Apparently, you sliced the oranges perfectly.
Didn't have any orange slices.
Well done.
Vitamin C.
And there was some sort of a designed corner kick that was extraordinary. Is that the...
Fantastic. Yeah, yes, it was great. Okay. We actually worked on crosses during the week. Ended up getting a header as one of our first goal. Actually, the first goal really kicked off the momentum.
Excellent. Okay. And apparently, during that win, your choice of costume as a furry was very much appreciated by the parents. You were a cat. Is that correct?
Nope. I was in uniform. I was good to go.
All right, what are we starting with, please?
Let me figure this out here. Oh, here we go. We are starting with Ja'Marr Chase because he is on Team Wiggins. We talked about Joe Flacco's comments yesterday about thinking that eating alone is like heaven. Ja'Marr Chase totally disagrees. Here was the back and forth with the reporter with Ja'Marr Chase.
done that, gone to a restaurant by yourself and just been able to take a breath?
By myself?
Yeah, you had that phase of life.
Of course not. I would never go eat by myself.
Why not?
I could do that at home.
If you walked into a restaurant and you saw Joe Flacco sitting there by himself, would you join him or just be like...
I would tell him, bro, we got to go get in the back room or something. You don't need to be in the front, you know?
Yeah, it's probably... Maybe it's an age thing. I don't know. Or comfortability with yourself as a person. I have no problem doing it, but...
Wiggy just looks weird.
Yeah, he thinks it looks weird. All right, what's next?
Well, your Boston Bruins suffered a tough defeat last night at the hands of the Anaheim Ducks, a game we thought was winnable, and they were competing for a while and then just kind of fell apart there in the third period, unfortunately. Marco Sturm talked after the game and was asked about if the players are just unable to grasp his system. And I got to tell you, Marco's response doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me. Hmm. Here was Marco Sturm.
Marco, what was at the heart of the miscommunication on the winning goal? And is this team still struggling to grasp the system?
Yeah, it's a good question. If you look at the goal, yeah, I would say yes. You know, the frustrating part is we've done it so many times. We talked over so many times. And in a certain situation when you're under pressure almost, that's where we struggle the most. Yeah. It's a good question. I don't know.
Right. I mean,
good question. I don't know.
That's six losses in a row. And you look at the long history of the hockey club, and in the Twitch chat earlier, somebody mentioned this is the fourth longest losing streak in team history. Mm. That's 100 years. Now,
is this their Waterloo?
I will say that when you actually go and look at the data, there were multiple years that they lost seven in a row. Right. The worst in their history is, I think, 1924, their very first year they lost 11 in a row. So, but it doesn't seem like it's going to get much better,
no.
Like, which is so disappointing. And I...
Has anybody checked on Dale?
I just don't... Like, I brought it up yesterday.
Dale here.
Brought up yesterday with Judd Surratt, and like nobody wants to even ask the question about Jeremy Swayman. Like he's like, no, it's not the it's the goaltender, and the guy was a mess last year, yep. and he, by his own admission, it was because of the lengthy holdout or hold in or what. And so now, like, that's the guy that you basically bet the franchise on. By giving in to him, giving him $8 million or whatever the number was that he wanted, and I don't know that he's the right guy.
Well, you would have had to pay Linus $8 million. You had to pay one of them.
Yeah, I might have preferred to pay Linus Allmark $8 million.
Maybe these two were just unbelievable because they played together.
Yeah, maybe.
Like that.
Maybe. I mean, that's.
But that wasn't
going
to last, though.
Okay, but that. But you still maybe shouldn't have paid him the $8 million. Like that is the crazy part about it.
So what were you
going to
do?
I don't know what to do. But all I'm saying is that for people to still be saying that Swayman is this unbelievable player after the season we saw last year.
I mean, Swayman didn't even play last night.
Yeah, he didn't even
play. Corpusolo did.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. We're just talking about him as general.
We're talking about Jeremy Swayman. Like what?
I understand, but why are we criticizing him more when he didn't even play last night, I guess, is my question. Like,
because Greg just brought up that Judd was here yesterday.
Did you hear the whole discussion that was going on around you?
Yes, I heard, but I'm just saying, okay. Like, why? I don't understand why he is the topic of discussion in a game he didn't even play.
Okay, well, you want to talk about Corpusolo? How much are they paying him?
Like $4 million or like a million?
We're talking about your number one goaltender. Like, you're aware of who your number one goaltender is supposed to be, and you've lost six in a row.
But is it because of your goaltender, or is it because of the rest of your team? I guess that's the question.
Judd said it was the rest of the team, basically. He said that it was the play in front of
goal. Maybe the defense, right?
Yeah, he echoed similar to what I had said, where I had mentioned how the talent in front of him stinks. It's hard to evaluate a goaltender when all the players in front of you are bad. Like, it's very difficult to tell if a goalkeeper is good or not because he can't, or a goaltender is good or not because he's facing a bunch of shots that are basically free and open.
And I feel like Swayman and Pasta are among the very few guys on this team that would be sought after by the rest of the league. Like,
100%.
I just don't think that he's the reason you're losing.
Bottom line, though, if he comes back early this season and is saying to everybody, I'm a different player, last season was kind of because of the holdout and everything else, and I feel so much different, didn't you expect that he'd be a bit better to start the season? Or this is exactly how you thought that Swayman would be playing?
He started out great.
I don't think he's been bad.
I mean, I guess for them to win, that's why I said he has to play at a Vezina like level.
Like he's allowing three goals against. Like, I mean, his save percentage is over 900. I don't understand why we. Like, I don't think this is on Jeremy Swayman by any means. It's not even close. He is very much towards the bottom of my list of issues.
It's on
team.
Jeremy Swayman because on Tuesday night there were two goals, not one, that he didn't see. That's why it's on Jeremy Swayman from my perspective.
Okay.
But no problem. We can just dispute it all day long. Yeah. Fine with that.
I think it's a great argument.
Who is it on from your perspective?
On my perspective, my first look is at Don Sweeney and Cam Neely for putting a AAA roster out there with David Pastrnak and Jeremy Swayman. Like, this is the issue. It's like, because if you get to the trade deadline, you could get good acquisitions for Jeremy Swayman and David Pastrnak if you decided you wanted to move on from him. However, if you do that, you're basically an AHL team. That's what you are. Your second line is horrendously bad. Should not be a second line in the NHL. And yet here we are, the Boston Bruins, with this. This is our team.
They look like a team that should be playing in a men's over 35 league. Is like last night there was a goal and Geeky wasn't even back checking. He was just kind of like skating. Like he was on, like literally how I do in a men's league where I'm like, I'm not playing no defense.
And Greg, the one thing you have been dead on about is Mason Lorai is just like a walking turnover.
No, he's a sieve. I acknowledge, like I'm ripped the D apart all day long. Like I will be happy to argue with you about Charlie McAvoy, who you're paying $9.5 million to.
Yeah.
Or Nikita Zadorov, who you're paying like $6 million
to. And Linus Ullmark with Ottawa. Linus has got a goals against average of a half goal worse than Swayman. And if you look at the Bruins stats of their goaltenders with the same players in front of them, Swayman is a goal better a game than Korpisalo. So, like, I think that you can say Swayman absolutely sucked at the beginning of last year, and that's on him. But I don't think he's the reason you are where you are right now. Like Linus Ullmark, I think what we're finding out is that the Bruins had a really good team when they had those two goalies, and there wasn't much difference between them when they were in net because the Bruins, the defense in front of them was so good.
I need to do my research on the number one prospect, McKenna, as well, because I got a couple texts actually during this conversation that said suck for McKenna. Mm. So I don't know. Apparently he's supposed to be pretty good.
Well, they're doing it. It might not be intentional, but it's happening.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, don't let Don Sweeney make the pick. He'll probably pick the wrong guy.
Why don't we take a break and get to the rest of They Said It next, and then the news with Courtney coming up at 8.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or dsw.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game.
They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bruins are back at home. Brad Marchand was back at his former home, and our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft is back with us in studios. Razor is brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Razor, how we doing?
Wonderful, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, bud.
My snarky answer? Better than the Bruins. The last, I mean, pretty sure they haven't added a point since the last time we talked.
I was feeling so good last time I was
there.
Yeah,
I was too. I was calling Marco Sturm my guy and this team, and I was ripping our producer Dan Ball, who told me this team was going to have all these issues. They were 3-0. So before we get into Marchand and some of the details, back in my writing days, I learned sometimes when you're writing a feature, just ask an open-ended question and see where it goes.
All right.
What's wrong with the Bruins?
Okay. So...
Ooh, how long
directly,
you got, huh?
Right to the point, too. What's interesting at this point in time, going into the season, everyone, who's going to score? Who's going to score? Yeah. Where are the goals? That's not the issue.
Stopping the puck seems to be an
issue
at times.
Correct. The defense is the issue, and that is, I guess, you look at the glass half full, that should be the easiest thing to fix, but glass half empty is that's a problem. Because that's what this team was built on. This team was supposed to be good in one goal games. This team was supposed to find a way to hang in and close out games. We didn't see that in Utah. We did not see that against the Florida Panthers. We didn't see that against Tampa. So four of the last five games that they've lost are all one goal games. NHL overtime is so vital for teams. If you get into overtime two of those games, which is very easy to do, especially blowing the Florida one last night.
Yeah.
And then finding a way Utah-Tampa to get into overtime. Now you're a game over 500. Now you're two games over 500. And now everything's fine. You're not even worried about it. We're not talking about it. So back to your initial question. For me, it's all about the defense. The 5-on-5 defense is 26th in the league. Their PK's been good. The power play's been good enough. They've scored goals. Their defense isn't good enough.
So is part of that Charlie McAvoy? He's one of your highest paid players, and it feels like for me this goes back to even before the Four Nations. I didn't think he was playing his best hockey then. Then the injury muddies everything. Mm-hmm. But is he part of the problem, not the solution right now?
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as the problem. I mean, he's playing 27 minutes a night. A big problem is Hampus Lindholm not in the lineup again. They're 3-0. They're 2-0 with him in the lineup. Mm. I don't think that's a coincidence that they're losing without him. And to your point about Charlie McAvoy, I'll bring it back to Charlie, is he's got to play 27 minutes now. That's a lot of hot. You have to pace yourself. You have to play a little bit differently. You can't be as physical. You can't go chase and hit guys when you have to pace to play half of the game rather than playing 21 minutes, which then you can push your shifts a little bit further. You can take a little bit more risk. 27, you're kind of managing your time out there, and that's the difference with Lindholm in and Lindholm out for Charlie McAvoy. Defensive zone faceoffs, you're taking more of those rather than just off it. Like, there's lots of different areas where Hampus relieves some pressure from Charlie, and I think that's where you're kind of seeing Charlie not be able to go a little extra and be a little flashier out there.
And Andrew, is that the most disheartening thing kind of about how the season started off? Because Cam was basically saying this is going to be a tough team. We're going to hang our hat on our defense. We're going to pack it in. We're going to make it hard for teams to score on us. And yet it's been the complete opposite, right? And it's for what you were kind of having as your bread and butter, and it for it to not even come close to meeting those standards, it's got to be kind of a blow, right?
Yes, it has to be, especially for Marco Sturm, who that's all he's talked about since the day he's going to bring structure, he's going to bring discipline, he's going to bring a defensive structure there, and that the discipline has him. They've taken a ton of penalties. They took a ton of penalties on the road. Good thing the PK has been as good as it's been, because it's been very, very taxed, and they've got themselves out of big jams with it. But no, I think it's got to be frustrating for them, because, again, that's That's the easy thing to do, to play hard, to play in the proper structure, to play in the proper place, and not give up easy goals. They've given up easy goals, and that's really the worst thing you can say about a team in the National Hockey League.
You know, Razor, I'm curious. You mentioned, you know, the penalty kills and all the penalties. What is the philosophy about penalty? Are there some penalties that coaches really, they don't mind because they're aggressive? I mean, but when you start to see all these penalties, is there a point in which you say, okay, guys, we got to clean this up, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's hockey. You're going to take penalties. It's not like you're going to have a perfect game. You're looking at three or four. If you won a period, you kill off, that's fine. It's when you get into six and you have to do it twice. And you have to do one every 10 minutes, which is 20% of the action, which you start breaking down ice time. David Pastrnak's not on the ice for 20 minutes of a period right out of the gates because he's not killing a pit. The rhythm that it takes out of your game when you get to six rather than three and a half, four. That's kind of the sweet spot. But to the other point is the neutral zone, the offensive zone, the lazy stick plays, the fact you're doing it off of a turnover, those are the ones that hurt you as well. There's enough hard penalties that you can take that you're okay with killing, but some of the ones the Bruins have taken the last week and a half have been ones that are unnecessary.
Razor, this is literally your area of expertise, and I think you probably were assuming you'd get some Swayman questions. When I look at him, and he's ranked, I think, 36th or 5th in goals against average, I know you're telling me the D isn't good enough. The D needs to be better. How much better does he need to be? Like, how much is Swayman apart? Because I think there were people like me that were frustrated after last season that were kind of giving him that fresh start, and it started the year okay, and now it's like, okay, we had one of those plus 5-goal games and those things. Like, where's Jeremy Swayman right now?
Yeah, so I'll dig into – I'll give you some analytics here.
Let's go. I love
them. Just to make sure that this is the number that everyone – this is the goalie number.
Okay.
Beyond – I could go a little deeper if you – like for an NHL team, but this is essentially the easiest goalie number, and that's goals saved above expected.
Okay.
So you're wiping out the save percentage and goals against. That's very team-oriented. So goals saved above expected, Jeremy Swayman's 11th in the league. He's at 3.4 goals saved above expected. For reference on that, Igor Shesterkin's leading the league at 8.9.
So two follow-up questions on that then.
Yeah.
One, I believe I saw this previously. So you're not the first to bring it to me. I'm a football guy, but I've seen this. I think he was like -9 last year.
Yes.
It was really bad last year.
Yeah, No, and I would have used that. If he was 35th, right now, I'd be using that as well.
Okay,
because it is an important number. It's a really important number for how you can really understand how a goaltender's be. It's the closest to being pretty good, I guess. Again, I always go back to it, guys. It's circumstance, and I think I've talked to you about this before. Like the margin between having a 900, especially early on, right? The numbers get so skewed 8 games into a season because you give up one goal is going to be three-tenths of a point off your save percentage. It really does get skewed.
So your number, I forgot what you called it already. What
goals saved above expected. It's pretty simple if you think goals saved above expected or below expected.
So better than
He's not going to learn the name. I'll just break that one
Yeah,
now.
That is a problem with me. Is this better than an average goal? Sort of explain to me exactly what it means.
Yeah, so you're – okay, so it – basically, they're 11th. He's 11th out of the league. It goes all the way down to 65 guys in the league. Linus Allmark, for reference, is 64th in the league at -7.4 goals saved above expected. So we'll bring that back. Who's better? I mean, right now, that's an easy one. But so again, it's early in the season. You have a great game tonight as a goaltender. You post a shutout. That's gonna jump you into the top 10. But I guess I just want to. It's just a reference point of it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good from the goaltenders for the Bruins.
This team was, again, to go back to Cam, kind of his opening preseason presser, talking about it's going to be tough, it's going to be gritty. I don't know if I'm seeing that, and I'm wondering, is that something that are who they are at this point, or can they evolve to get grittier, tougher? Is it something that you can work on throughout the season, or this is who they are, and we got to love the ones we're with kind of thing?
Well, I think what's happened in the last 6 days is you've played a couple of teams that have no interest and no sandpaper at all in Colorado and Utah on the road. You can't really muster too much up against them because you're just going to be in the box. They really don't have a lot of guys that are on the other side. We saw Florida the other night. Two teams. Florida's pretty injured. Boston's coming off the road. They're trying to manufacture energy. Kastelic gets into a fight, but they really only had Gajewicz on the other side. The Bruins have a few more guys. But, and it's, and this is a big but, because they are going to have to do it themselves. They're going to have to manufacture it. They're going to have to take it another step forward. I think they're a little passive, which happens when you lose three, four, five games in a row. I think the guys like Janot, Isimont, that they didn't get into the game the other night. They're going to have to get into the game early tonight, and they have to be better. That's the culture they're trying to bring. That's the team identity that they're trying to have. And so to the direct question is, you can do that a little bit as a team. Sometimes it's out of your control. Sometimes you don't want to be chasing, but they have to be more hard to play against.
So grammatically, you bring up culture. Like we say vibes a lot. We've talked a lot about Red Sox early in the year. Like, this team seems like it's got a vibe post Devers or the Patriots. You know, Vrabel cleans out the leadership, and it's like, oh, he put together some vibes here, and they're winning in both those teams. What would you say the vibes around this hockey team are right now?
Yeah, they're not dire by any means. They're nothing like they were, you know, post Four Nations last year, or post Jim Montgomery getting fired, post Christmas. I get the sense that they feel like they're close. I get the sense that they feel like they've been in these games. I think a good way to measure those vibes, and I do think culture is a different word than vibes. Culture is kind of more long-term or the big picture, where those vibes can, especially in the NHL, maybe even more so than football and baseball, can be like day-to-day or week-to-week. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that you can look at as a Bruin fan and feel good about the vibes is the fact that they've battled in all these games. They were up. They were down 2-0 to Florida. They came back. They get the 6-on-5. Like, that's a backbreaker. Like, that is, Andrew Peak could do that 100 million times, and that would never happen again, right? So, but they fought through that. They fight through being down 3 goals against Vegas and keep themselves in the third period. Same thing, Tampa Bay. They're down 4-1 at home, afternoon game. That would have been 7 or 8-1 last year. So I don't think the vibes are horrible, but they certainly need a break. They need something good to happen to themselves tonight to feel good, to be able to move and take that vibe that you're talking about to the next level against a good team Saturday afternoon.
Let's go back to last week. I just want to get your thoughts on Brad Marchand's return. Just what did you think of the night, how they honored him? And, you know, do you wish things would have been different and they just paid him and he was still a Bruin? What's your thoughts on that, Andrew?
Certainly it would have been nice to, you're always going to think of him as a Bruin. I think hindsight, I think it was pretty cool for hockey and for the story of hockey for him to have gone to Florida and end up winning a cup and almost get a Conn Smythe. And for him, that legacy, what that means to him and where that puts him among hockey greats is next level. Certainly.
So his legacy went to another level what happened.
Yeah,
last year.
It did. Like Brady that playoff run, what he was on was ridiculous. If it wasn't for Sam Bennett, he's the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, which nobody would have put two ducats on at the start of last season.
And Kachuk was out for a lot of those games, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was hurt. What he was in.
Right.
He had he's not playing until Christmas or after Christmas because of that. So he carried that team in a big way and changed their vibe and gave them something different. I think the other night we saw that he's always going to be a Bruin. Paul Maurice, the Florida Panthers coach, talked as much as that. Like, even though he's on our team, he's still a Boston Bruin. We're all going to think of him. He's going in the Hall of Fame with a Bruins hat. His number's going to the rafters. I thought it was a great tribute. I think we see how emotional Brad is just in general and why he's such a great player, but how much the Boston Bruins mean to him. So it was nice. I think they did a good job with that, and Brad did a great job being an ambassador.
Did anything? He did a lot of talking and a lot of crying. And there was emotion. And there was a lot of clips.
Yeah.
Did anything he said surprise you? There was an interesting one we played from the first period intermission where they asked him on ESPN, "Do you have any regrets?"
Yeah.
And I, like they did, took it as that's the first time I've ever been asked. I thought it was sarcasm, and apparently it was the first time he's been asked if he had regrets. And he had a lot of words, and then he said he had regret but wouldn't go back, kind of thing. Did anything in anything that he talked about surprise you?
Well, I was going to reference that one because that was probably the most interesting take or interesting bite, just talking about, because that was really the first time that he had talked about the actual negotiation with the Bruins, right? Like, we didn't really get a lot of insight on that. It just came down, oh, we couldn't get a deal done. That's really, which is what you always hear in these kinds right. of situations. No one really gets the full scoop. So that was interesting to hear, just kind of him talking about, and you have to deduce that he was upset with the offer and they were upset with his reaction to the offer.
Right.
And he might have changed that a little bit and they might have changed that. That's what happened.
Someone
right?
said like, F you and someone said F you.
Correct. They
not hard to figure out.
You know, and now he signs a 6-year deal and, right. you know, pretty obvious the Bruins were never giving him a 6-year deal. That was impossible to do here. So I thought that was interesting. I just think I think the way he acted, the way he was so thankful and so appreciative to the Bruins organization, I think that explains, like, he touched on the emotion, but I think he got over it. I think everybody got over it pretty quickly, which means that it wasn't nearly as hostile as yeah. maybe was made out at the time, and it wasn't as much of an FU at the time as it was. It kind of got down to the point where they both realized they were at the end of the rope, and it was probably better to do it now than wait till the summer.
There's some people who think, you know, his comments, I always feel like he's conflicted because he doesn't know. He's happy to be down there, but he misses here, so he doesn't really know. But do you think some people would think his comments would reflect a willingness or a desire to eventually come back here and be a part of the front office someday? Do you feel that might be the case?
Yeah, you have to imagine. Like, again, Zdeno Chara went a few different places when he left, and he's back, and his number's going up to the right. Like, I could see a similar scenario where that his family's here, his wife's from this area, so you have to imagine that he'll be back in this area. And if he wanted to, I can't imagine an organization anywhere in the NHL that wouldn't want his experience now, his way and his culture and his character. I mean, you imagine that guy in a front office, you're going to get the honest answer on everything all of the time.
Is that a common thing in the NHL? I wish the NFL would invite its former players back to help with front office stuff, but it's a totally different deal. Does the NHL...
He's angling for a job. Over
yeah.
Here.
Do they welcome back guys?
It's more and more. I think more so than anything. Like, when I played, guys just didn't want anything to do with media. They didn't want anything to do with hockey. They're just like, all right, it was just so much harder. Okay, football was so much harder in 2000 than it is in 2025.
Preach, brother. Preach,
right?
My man. Yep.
Pro sports was just so hard, and we all couldn't wait to get out of it and never look back.
Yep.
I think that's changed now. You see it with all the media guys. You've got TJ Oshie jumping right back in. You got Eric Johnson jumping back in national TV. That never would have happened 25 years ago. It's the backup goalies that need to keep working or need to take a job. So the that's changing, and I think a lot of guys want to get back in. They want to stick around the game, and I think organizations are seeing how valuable it is to have those eyes on their players and to be able to pass some of that through it, and also the players that are doing it are willing to learn about analytics and worry about video and all of those things too.
All right, Razor, before we let you go, our guy Dan Ball, our producer, he's a hockey guy, brought to my attention something yesterday that I found eye-opening. And
oh boy,
well, we've talked about how, like, the Patriots get all the attention and sort of the differentiation. We all know what it is.
Yeah.
And we all know Bill Belichick's track record drafting and how much attention it got as the dynasty petered out and all that. Dan Ball, and his number's not mine, so if they're wrong, yell at him. Since 2021, the Bruins have drafted 29 players.
Okay.
Zero of them are on the current Bruins team.
Okay.
A team that's rebuilding or whatever you want to call this. How do you explain that, and what does that say about this organization?
Well, 2021 is not that long ago, number one, when it comes to drafting players. 2021, that's 4 years. So that means those kids at most, at the oldest, are 22.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not drafting NFL, Bill Belichick's drafting 22, 23-year-old kids. You're drafting 18-year-old kids, number one. Number two, I'd love Dan's numbers on the percentage of players that get drafted to the NHL and play 100 games in the National Hockey League. And
I don't think he has that available
right
now.
We can pull it up. It's 6-7%. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's the number's crazy, right? Wow. You have seven rounds. You have 220 kids get drafted every year. There might be 12 guys that play 100 games out of those 200. Like, it's 200 games. Yeah. So I guess my answer is I would hold off on the 2021. That's kind of cherry picking because my guess is 2020 is like Mason Lowry or like you can move into these numbers a little bit. Again, 4 years ago is not long when you're drafting 18-year-old kids. You have to let it go. But I understand this point. Fabian Lysell didn't kick. He's leading Providence in scoring for a couple games. He's still down there. But no, it has to be better. James Haggins has to work, right? They got a guy seventh overall. It has to work. They have to have the Ehlers. Some of these guys kick. The Patras come back. So I'm not making any excuses for them. I would just say it's a dangerous number, just 4 years. There's a lot of time in these guys still.
All right, so Ducks tonight?
Ducks are good.
Are they going to wear those sweet orange jerseys?
Yeah.
They have some. Are they?
They're legit. That's all they're wearing now.
Oh, my God.
They only have. So they'll have one. They're on the road, so they'll have the white ones. They'll have the white ones.
The orange and those are sweet.
Yeah, the cream.
What's your favorite jersey?
It's a sweater we had. We're being
I love Blackhawks. Rangers 100 years, really solid. You can't beat the original six, right? Toronto, yeah. Montreal, Detroit. Detroit's pretty awesome.
Do you have a favorite that you wore?
I was like Boston, Toronto. I love Vancouver, the blue Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Blue
yeah,
Vancouver's
yeah.
pretty
a
sharp.
A lot of people's favorite.
Those are good colors.
I like the black
Dallas one. Wasn't that good, but... but no, the original six is really hard to beat. But for the kid, like the Anaheim one, they've done a good job kind of switching out the duck, but keeping the duck and now going orange.
Yeah, they gave out masks the other day.
Yeah, that was like, cool.
Those orange, those were sick.
Yeah, they were sick.
Like usually you get like a cheap towel or a t-shirt. You're like, you got that mask? That was a sweet giveaway.
And you can't throw the mask on the ice like
that's
the
true.
Stanley Cup the Bruins gave out.
That is true. So what's going to happen tonight?
Bruins are going to pull this one out. 4-2, empty. 4-2 all around. 4-2 all around. I don't know what's going to happen Saturday with Colorado coming in, but they're going to get a win tonight.
Okay, you need a fresh start because I think last time it was they were going to get 3 points on the West Coast trip.
Yeah,
that was the hope.
They did not.
That was brutal. No,
was
they the didn't. I should have said two, and I would have been closer. But
it would have been closer.
Three,
still not
close.
Right, but
still
you
not
been close.
Close. Yeah.
All right, Razor, we appreciate you stopping
Thanks,
by.
Bud.
As always, you're awesome. We'll talk to you next week.
Tonight.
I will, buddy. All right. Thanks, man.
Andrew Razor Raycroft here with WEEI Afternoons. Coming up next, we will return with something. Chad Graff has the Patriots trade targets. And they might not be what you want or what I want, but apparently he's hearing things, what they're targeting down in Foxborough. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to
building
a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Brad Marchand's return to TD Garden last night went pretty much how you expected it to go.
Sure did.
Bruins fall behind immediately. Marchand draws a penalty, factors into the power play goal. Bruins are down 2-0, but Keith, not so fast.
No.
It's the most difficult lead in hockey to protect. It's the worst lead you could possibly have.
Don't want it.
You'd rather have a one-goal lead than a two-goal lead. And the Bruins erase that right away.
Mm-hmm.
They make it 2-2. Florida goes up 3-2. Which is a good lead.
Yeah, it's a safer
lead. But the Bruins
lead.
Still match that one.
Great late goal, or so you thought it was a late goal.
To make it 3-3. And then you get just an absolute cluster F at the end of the game where Swayman is beat but bailed out by the post. I think he gives up on the play. And the puck somehow deflects in off of Andrew Peak from out by the circle because Swayman has given up on the play. And already thought he was beat or whatever, just decided to mail it in the final minute or so of the game, final 30 seconds of the game. And Bruins lose in, I would say, somewhat predictable fashion. You knew they were going to choke. The only thing I didn't see coming is I thought it would be Marchand probably in overtime sticking it to him. But you knew they were going to blow that game.
Yeah, or off the leg of your own player. You know, it wasn't a Marchand goal, but it was sort of like something that would pop up on like bloopers.
Yep.
So there was that aspect of it. And just the time left in the game where I had no faith they were going to win in overtime or in a shootout, but at least you would have taken the point because it's been so bad so long. Like
true.
All these losses on the Western road trip were all in regulation.
Right. At least
like,
if you got beat
kidding.
By at least you got beat by Marchand in overtime, you got the point.
Grab a point.
Get your pity point.
Right.
End your losing streak, but at least your pointless streak you end. And Marchand rips your guts out in overtime, but whatever. But no, it was a worse way to lose in many ways.
Yeah, so they dig themselves a hole, but they do show some life and they bounce back and but then you can talk about Swayman on that last goal, or really just Swayman now on the whole season outside of the first two starts that he had, and this team just falling apart. Like they couldn't do anything on the road trip. And then your first game back, and obviously it's an emotional game, but guess what? It's more emotional for Marchand. Marchand's the one that is looking up at the jumbo screen. It's like a mountain of a game of emotions for him.
Oh, he was quite emotional, yeah.
And he has two assists and they win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody in the Bruins is as emotional. So, like, what's their excuse? Oh, you just came off a road trip?
Well,
like, please.
And, that's if you heard the Nesson postgame show last night, and I did.
Oh,
I flipped over there. Barry Peterson and Razor were just like, first came back from a road trip. What do you expect?
They're going to have to get real good at excuses this year.
They got back, I think, on Sunday night. They certainly were home by Monday. They had a whole day to get ready for the game. You couldn't get up for Marchand's return to the Garden?
No.
Your legs were too heavy? What's going on with that?
Scheduled loss.
I guess.
Well, yeah, but. Even you had four straight losses, then that one also is a scheduled loss. So I don't know what their chances are going forward.
So anyways, Marchand's second assist. He wins a puck battle and out-muscles Lauri. Minus Lauri last night was a minus one. Do you know what he is on the year, Keith?
Minus Lauri?
Yeah.
Let's see, how many games have they played? Eight games. Sorry, Joe. Eight games. I'll say he's a minus eight.
Believe it or not, he's even. I expected much worse than that.
Wait, minus Lauri's even?
Yeah, so
Stern was talking about him after the game. You would not guess that.
Okay, here's
egg on my face.
Here's the good news, bad news, I guess. Good news, he's even. Bad news, he's going to be a minus 40 by the end of the year. So a lot of these are still,
in
the bank, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, they're off tonight. They got Anaheim Thursday, Colorado on Saturday, which should go great. And then they go to Ottawa. So, yeah.
Well, they go to Ottawa. You're not going to win that. You don't win on the road.
Are they more like
You don't win on the road. You don't win matinees. You don't win back-to-backs. Yeah. And you don't win the first home game after a road trip. So, again, it's amazing some teams in the NHL listening to some of these analysts finish over 500.
But they'll still have those first three games.
Yeah.
You can't take those away from them. They got those points. Those are their points.
Well,
they're holding on to those points.
Speaking of banking points, Keith, I asked you this earlier today.
Uh-huh.
The Bruins, despite their 3-0 start, are already down to 13th in the East, and that's with games out of hand.
Out of hand. They've played more games than most teams.
Other teams have games in hand.
I am very Ploud and Preece.
I'm not Ploud or Preece.
For instance, the Bruins are sitting pretty.
Yeah.
With 6 points in the East. That's tied with Columbus and the Islanders, but both of them have played two fewer games.
Yeah.
The teams trailing them, Ottawa,
Buffalo, Tampa, all have played fewer games. In the case of the Sabres and Lightning, they've played two fewer. So the Bruins are already trending towards maybe the worst team in the league already.
Yep.
With that 3-0 start, which felt like it evaporated and went away real quick.
And the Lightning already beat them once.
And the Lightning beat them head-to-head. Good one.
I got two words for you.
Yep.
And it's one name. Gavin McKenna.
Two words, one name.
Gavin McKenna.
Gavin McKenna. What's that? We're trying to get the hashtag going again.
There's a few different ones that people are tossing out there. But
yeah, what are they?
I think the ones that we really have latched onto is gagging for Gavin.
Best gag is you're going to get around here.
That's what some people have said.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get Correct. You gag away. Whatever it takes to go get Gavin McKenna, you're already there.
Well, going into the year, we thought not a playoff team, right? So automatically, you're talking about the bottom half of the league. Yeah. And then from there, you're like, well, what's the point of fighting for like maybe being the eighth seed, but probably not even?
Well, the point is, the hockey is a sport where you get in and then
it's a little more open, I guess. Yeah. But that was sort of like a lot of things had to go your way for even that. It's not a very talented roster. One of your best players, unfortunately, is pretty inconsistent, and that's your goaltender.
Oh, he's been consistently bad since the first two games.
So, like, Pastrnak can have an awesome season, but that's only going to get you so far. And so, three games in, you're like, I don't know, they won these three games, but now we've seen five straight losses in regulation, and you're like, all right, you hate to do it, especially this early in the season, but we just did it a couple of years ago as a Patriots fan. We've done it a handful of times as Celtics fans. It might be in the best interest of the whole team to just kind of lay down and die. Or, like Nick brought this point up earlier, you're not really like, and we've always said this with teams that quote-unquote tank.
Yeah, you don't need
to. You're not like pulling Pastrnak out of the lineup or whatever, but you're like, you just roll the pucks out there and be like, all right, let's give him hell.
The Jones and Keith parlay was nails last night, Keith.
Yeah.
Bruins lose on the money line.
And, Pastrnak didn't score, though, did he? He had two assists, I think.
Wait, why did I think Pastrnak did score?
I think he had two assists.
No, you're right. Pastrnak didn't score.
Yeah,
right.
I would have lost.
I'm thinking of assists.
You wouldn't have had to go over a point and a half. But the point is, he could be great and he could still lose games. Like, they're just not very good. So you're probably better off for the long-term future of your team if you get yourself a Gavin McKenna.
I think you let that thing ride. You're in good shape. Pastrnak can score 50 goals.
Yeah, you don't have to manipulate it. I'm saying that this might be the reality of the team.
He scored a bunch last year and you sucked.
Yeah.
So you can definitely do that. And by the way, just to close the loop on this, we were talking about Swayman. Now, at least Swayman has been better than Corpy. But Swayman already is 36th in the league in goals against, 302.
There's 32 starting goalies.
Yep, right between Anthony Stolarz and Filip Gustavsson.
Well, Stolarz is not having a good year.
No.
Yeah.
No. Save percentage, he's 27th, 903.
All right, top 30.
Lucas Dostal and again, Filip Gustavsson. He's having a Filip Gustavsson type of year.
Filip Gustavsson, Jeremy Swayman, Spider-Man meme.
Correct.
They're the same guy.
He's way ahead of Corpy all the way down at 865. So those are your Bruins. Real quick, I thought this was interesting. Steve Levy, in between periods, they aired it in between periods. It was recorded before the game, probably after morning skate. But Steve Levy asked Marchand if he had any regrets about his time in Boston. He gave a long, meandering answer, but ultimately he wound up with this.
Do I wish that, at times, I guess I would say that I think if we went back, I think both sides would have done things differently. I think is how I would say. I think I let my emotions handle some aspects of the negotiations that maybe I would have done differently if I go back, but I wouldn't go back.
I wouldn't go back.
I wouldn't. I would do it differently, but I wouldn't. Like, okay?
I think that was
a little emotional with the contract, which I get it.
He said the negotiation specifically. I think that was a little homage to a Rich Keefe scoop. From a year ago, but maybe I'm looking for something that isn't there.
Some choose to ignore it. Some choose to somehow claim that was false. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought there was a rift in the room, Keith.
Oh, yeah. They traded the whole team. And they don't even have a captain now.
I thought there was a rift in the room. Where's the rift? Show me the proof of the rift. The proof is he's a Florida Panther. What do you mean?
The locker room's a mess.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah? They fired their coach. They traded their captain. But you're right. You guys are on it.
Which I hear they never do.
No, they don't.
I mean, the Bruins
have
done it multiple times in franchise history.
And if
but
you ask me about
I
it,
I hear
I'll
they
leave.
Never do.
Yeah. What was the contract that the Bruins were offering? Do you remember off chance what it was?
Yeah. Here's what I heard.
Okay.
I heard 6-3 is what they were. They were doing a cutesy 63 for Brad Marchand. They were offering him 6-3 a year, I think, over 3 years.
Okay. Because he ended up signing with Florida, a 6-year deal at $32 million?
Yeah, so what's the AAV on that? I'm horrible at math. That's below six, isn't it? Yeah. No,
it's definitely below six.
Factor in the state income tax or lack thereof, and
5.3 million a year.
You calculate out ahead of that, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
I'm sorry. Wait, yeah, I can't.
They offered him $6.3 million a year. He's making $5.3 million a year.
And I thought he was asking for like seven or something like that were the reports at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, he wound up taking a little discount.
But obviously there is something about living in Florida versus living in Massachusetts. I'm not gonna say that part of it doesn't exist, but it's not, I can't imagine it's the final take home is way different.
No. 617-779-7937. You want to talk Marshan, you can. We discussed it earlier. It's also available on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Use the rewind feature. You can go back and listen. It's free, and it's easy to do. So get that on your phone. You can take it with you wherever you go. Plus, let's get back into the Patriots. Mike Vrabel going to speak right around 1 o'clock. You'll hear it live on Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Are they getting their proper respect at the national level? We'll get to that next.
Before we talk Bruins with the play-by-play voice of the Boston Bruins, the news continues to break a bit when it comes to FBI arrests involving those who may have been wagering in an unfair manner. And Shams reporting that the coach of the Portland Trailblazers, one of the coaches of the Portland Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups, has also been arrested this morning by the FBI.
The head coach of the Blazers. That one is kind of like,
I don't know whether did Cash go there personally to do the arrest, Curtis?
He did.
Is Cash Patel doing those arrests?
National Guard not welcome, but Cash is.
That is tough.
That one hits different.
Yeah.
You know,
this and you've just got to wonder how many other players or coaches are going to be involved in this. If this is an NBA gambling ring.
When you think about it,
if they are connected to that is crazy, Courtney, when you bring
what
that
do you
up.
Mean?
Like if there is a connection,
FBI isn't doing like random arrests on different gambling rings the same morning.
Yeah, it has to be connected.
So you think Chauncey and Terry?
All right, well, the voice of the Boston Bruins, Jed Surratt, brought to you by Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop, powered by Bauer, with the best selection of Bauer skates, sticks, and goalie equipment at 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington or online at sportsetc.net. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. What's going on?
Emotional night on Tuesday night at the Garden.
I thought the Bruins as an organization nailed it. I think what you wanted to see is when Brad Marchand came back, you know, you wanted to honor his time here in Boston. He's an iconic player. 63 is going to be hanging from the rafters. And the video that they put together, and I think he mentioned it once he saw the faces of his kids, you know, in addition to all the accomplishments that he had here with the Bruins, I think it got him. And I loved how sincere he was. I loved the honesty. All of his interviews were absolute gold.
Yeah.
Before, during, and after the game. But I thought it was a great moment.
After, when he spoke to ESPN and talked about the way in which things ended here, I gave him a lot of credit for putting a lot of that on himself and saying that he got too emotional at that time with regard to that negotiation. And so it's unfortunate that they couldn't figure that out, team and player, but also he seems pretty happy where he is now and the opportunity to win down there.
Oh, he's in a great spot. I don't think that there was any team other than maybe the Florida Panthers that was going to give him a six-year deal, and that's what they gave to a 37-year-old guy. You know, and listen, hats off to him. I saw the piece that I think you're talking to where he talked about, do you think or do you have any regrets with the way that everything unfolded at this point? And I think to his point, he said, you know, maybe I could have handled things a little bit differently. You know, I think the Bruins, they wanted to keep him, but I don't think that they were willing to meet Marchand's number.
No. That game should have been on Nesson, by the way. You're
preaching to the choir, yeah, baby.
You would probably agree. I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would have been
at least here locally, you know. Yes. I think one of the things, you know, and I don't, you know, understand all the ins and outs of how the networks can take games and what they can choose to use, but there are times where the local market can take the game and then everybody else nationally could get ESPN or TNT.
Oh, okay.
We had that instance last year. We were in Minnesota, you know, where our game was broadcast back in Boston here on Nesson, but everybody else got the Wild and the Bruins. You certainly wish, you know, and I understand, you know, if you're a network, this is why you pay all that money in the rights fee to be able to get that opportunity to see this moment. It was a huge game, sir. Certainly here early in the season, especially at a time before the World Series had started. But if you wanted the right broadcast, you wanted Nesser to be able to do it.
They do that with the Celtics often, where the Celtics will be maybe on ESPN, but you can still watch them on the local broadcast, Scalabrine and I forget what the other guy's name is.
I said this earlier during, I think it was during Shime's lead. Is it, and I hate even saying it out loud, but is it possible that they're paying the wrong guy $8 million to be their goaltender?
No.
No?
No, I think Swayman's gotten off to a good start. So if you look in the big picture as far as the way the goaltending has played here early in the season, I think both Jeremy Swayman and Jonas Corposello are off to really good starts. I would expect that Jonas Corposello will get the start here tonight. You're playing on Saturday afternoon against the Colorado Avalanche, a team that Swayman gave you an opportunity to stay in that game and win. It was 2-1 heading into the third period. I would imagine that Swayman's going to get that start. So I think he has been as advertised. I think the issue, Greg, so if we look at the big picture.
Yeah.
All right, Bruins won the first three, lost the next five. But as far as offense and defense, if you look at the offense right now, it's actually in the middle of the pack in the league. That's fine. But the defense is in the bottom third, and that's not where you need to be. This team has said if we're going to be competitive, we need to play to our identity. Stingy, hard to play against, not stingy enough.
But to say that they're off to a good start, like they have three wins, but they're against teams that aren't that great. So it's for me, when you look at a guy like Jeremy Swayman and how much we're paying him, and we go back to two seasons ago when he was lights out, and then the offseason he had last, you would just hope that he would get off to a much better start, in my opinion, than just getting three wins against some crappy teams.
I think some of the issues, Courtney, with the goals that have been allowed in front of whether it's Jeremy Swin or Jonas Corposello, and listening to the players and the coaches, they're too easy.
Mm.
They're tap-ins. They're backdoor plays. They're easily correctable plays that just simply cannot happen. I think, if you look at what's happening with the goals against, more of it is happening because of what's happening in front of those goalies than the goaltenders themselves. Right.
In most cases, it's Mason Lorai.
I mean, if you guys
have
watched the game, I think, when everybody's watching a game and a goal goes in, how many head scratchers have you had? Like, oh, you really should have had that. I don't think that there are many that you can point to with a lot of the goals that have happened. But I think some of the issues are with game management. All right, let's take the Florida game, for example. You battled back 2-0 down heading into the third period against the defending Stanley Cup champions. You tie it at 2. Then you go down 3-2, tie it again at 3-3. So you've got just more than a minute left at that point. So how do you manage the puck? How do you manage the game? They didn't manage it properly, and because of that, they lost.
And I think, Judd, when I look at this team, and I think Swayman and Corposalo are doing a good job, but you can't ask them to put up Vezina-like performances night in and night out when they're paying they're paying good money to Swayman, but they're paying their defense, whether it's Zadorov, whether it's McAvoy, they're paying their defense some good money, and I think that's where you're
good money, yeah. McAvoy's making over $9 million a year.
Falling short. Lindholm makes good money. Like, you're actually falling short on where I thought you would. Your defense would be better than your offense, because if you just look at
that's what Marco Sturm thought also.
I think that's part of it. Hopefully Hampus Lindholm is back on the ice. I think, we didn't do the game, obviously, on Tuesday, but Hampus took a full morning skate. I think a lot of people expected, he's going to step back into the lineup and play. He didn't. He's a difference maker for you on the back end when he's in. But I think, to get back to, it's not just the defense, but getting back to game management. What are you doing with the puck when you have it? That was one of the things that Brick wanted to focus on when the Bruins were playing the game in Utah. And I think the Florida game is a perfect example. So just over a minute left, this is something that Marco Sturm talked about. Why are what are you doing with the puck in the offensive zone or on the offensive side of the ice? And I think the Bruins didn't value it, and because of that, Florida had a chance to come back and tie that and win that game.
What are people saying about Hampus behind the scenes? Because for him to get back in the lineup on Saturday, after he said he had a lot to build upon, obviously he wasn't sure if he was going to get back in the lineup on Sunday, but then Tuesday as well, that's a worry for me.
I haven't heard anything necessarily, Courtney. I think that all of us, I think I was a little bit surprised he didn't play on Tuesday. I could understand why he wasn't playing in a back-to-back game.
Right.
Playing Saturday in Colorado was actually a quicker turn. So the Bruins played 7 o'clock Mountain Time in Denver, and then you got to turn around, travel, and play at 5 o'clock 100%. Mountain Time in Salt Lake. So I don't think anybody, you know, and this is, you know, it sounds like it's a lower body, you know, it's some sort of soft tissue injury. So I don't think anybody was necessarily surprised that he didn't play on Sunday. But I think it raised an eyebrow that he didn't play on Tuesday. That doesn't mean that he's not hurt or unable to go. But he apparently didn't feel right. You got a long season, you know, and you want to make sure that whatever he has doesn't get worse.
It just concerns me. Like Chauncey Billups just took the under on 30 wins.
Oh, dear.
which is of concern.
Chauncey Billups.
You look at an area as special teams, right? We always talk about special teams. We talk about the power play. And
how many questions does Chauncey have Wiggy asking?
Hey, sorry. Listen, Chauncey was a good player when he was here.
Is there a parlay available?
Yeah, I don't know. But when you think about the Bruins and their power play.
I got the over on him being out of the Hall of Fame at 15 days, Curtis.
I thought you were going to say word count for Wiggs.
No.
Carry on.
No. To go back to the special teams and power play.
He'll be able to join us when we do the Springfield Roadshow.
Can I ask my question? We're going to talk Chauncey Billups and his gambling problems that he's having. Come on, Chauncey. What do they need to do better power play opportunities for them to make sure? Do they mess with the lines a little bit?
No, I don't think it's a function of personnel, Wiggy. I think they're just not moving the puck fast enough. You know, a power play is not going to score every time, but mm-hmm. I think what you want to be able to do is a power play is a great opportunity to either grab momentum or further momentum that you have. You know, and obviously, you know, the goal is to score, but you're not going to be able to do that every time. But I think the Bruins' issues too often are they're either too slow to move the puck or they have a hard time moving the puck consistently. You know, the power play early on, you know, what's funny is we talk about, you know, all right, they're 3-5 here to start the season. They've been in every single game. Every single game, they've had an opportunity to win those games. Even in the Vegas game, they battle back from 6-3. It's 6-5. It was 6-5 early in the third period. But the power play, to your point, has had opportunities to make a difference. And it's only done that, you know, it's done that sparingly here early in the season. It can certainly be better. It needs to be better for this team to be competitive.
If you look at the next three games, though, you look at the Ducks, Avalanche, and Senators, those should be two winnable games. The Avalanche will be hard, but the other two games should be winnable. In your mind, what do they need to do in these three games to show that they are an okay hockey team this season?
Well, I think one of the things is that they have to come out with a better start, and there has to be a little bit more desperation. We've seen the Bruins score first early on, but unfortunately they've given some of those leads back. You know, I go back to the last game we did in Salt Lake City against the Utah, you know, against the Utah Mammoth. You know, in that game, you know, the Bruins came out. I understand it was a back-to-back game, didn't come out as strong as they would like. But the desperation that you saw at the end of that game, the desperation you saw at the end of the game in Florida, I think you want to see that a little bit more earlier in the game and carry that as much as possible. I don't think there's any team, you know, everybody talks about, we're going to play a 60-minute game. Not going to happen. Okay, there are going to be times where the other team is going to push, or maybe there's a mistake or a little bit of a letdown. But you want to be able to try and, I think if you can seize that opportunity a little bit earlier in the game, like against a team like the Ducks, I think that that will certainly help. I think in the bigger picture, if you look at where the Bruins are in the schedule, and this was always going to be a tough month. I want to say they're in a span where they play 5 of 6 on home ice. This is where you got to stay in the mix, and this is where they got to cash in. It doesn't matter who the opponent is.
Judd, this organization has only gotten 79 games out of draft picks since 2021. None of those draft picks are on the roster currently. How much of an impact does that have on kind of the overall talent level and success of this team?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly the numbers you're looking at. I think the other thing you have to look at is the Bruins also haven't had an opportunity, like a lot of teams that were in their position for a long time, to draft a lot of players. Let's take the Ducks, for example. This is a team that was completely torn down and then built back up. If you happen to watch or go to the game tonight, you're going to see a lot of really good young talent. The Bruins are built differently. They're in a different spot than a team like Anaheim. This was a spot that Anaheim was in maybe about 10 years ago when they were competing for a Stanley Cup championship. But I think to your point, whether it's draft picks or anybody else that you have in your organization or in your system, You need to have that push. Everybody needs to be pushed in order to be better. I think that the Bruins felt as an organization they didn't have that last year, and it cost them.
Well, okay. Well, no, I was just going to say, because I always try to figure out the world of every different sport and the uniqueness of it. And a lot of times when we talk about draft picks, and, you know, we talked to Milbury last year, and it seems like draft pick type players generally take maybe 2, 3, 4 years before you get a return on that type of investment. Is that like something that we look at when it comes to some of these Bruins players? I believe it's what Patra was a second round draft pick.
He was a second round pick. You know, and this was a kid, you know, if you want to go back to a guy like Matt Patra, he surprised in training camp. He earned the opportunity to play in the National Hockey League that year because of the crazy rules that exist in the NHL. They weren't allowed to send him to the American Hockey League. If they sent him down, he would have to go back to junior and play. And, you know, at that point, he had dominated junior. So I don't know how much of an advantage it would have been. But, you know, to your point, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to most picks around the National Hockey League, save guys who are top 10 picks, they're going to need time in the American Hockey League. I think one of the things, whether it's Brick or my old partner Bobby Beers, you know, Beers, those guys would talk about all the time, you know, having that opportunity, you need to learn in the American Hockey League before you're ready for National Hockey League games. I know you brought up Mason Lorai.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't spend a whole lot of time in the American Hockey League. And I think when it comes to defense, the hardest position for years in the NHL to learn at that level is D.
Has he played defense before at all in his hockey career?
He has.
Okay.
He was not originally a defenseman, if that's where you're going to. So before he played college hockey, he was not always a defenseman. Yeah. He played forward when he was in Culver before he went to Ohio State. You know, so he's a guy who's still learning how to play D
learning on the job.
Absolutely. And you know, obviously the learning curve at the National Hockey League level, even harder.
Text for you, Judd, on the Subaru of New England text line. And this one is from Terry R. in Orlando. Has a 12-leg ducks parlay tonight. Wondering if you would take a look at that and give him some advice.
I'll take the phone
right now, but he has a phone call available coming up at 11.
All right.
Okay. All right, Judd, great to see you.
Great to see you guys.
All right, go get him tonight. Game's on Nesson.
Let's go.
I hope tonight.
6 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop.
Okay. All right, that is Judd Surratt, and we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered.
For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.